32. Sacrifice.
The average time of death from Yeltis venom is roughly a quarter of an hour. The venom can paralyze a man within moments of contacting the victim's blood. Once paralysis sets in, other bodily functions fail. Delusions will be the last thing the victim experiences. What a horrid way to die.
From Kolvenar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 118. Felinia could not believe her eyes. Where had the monster come from? When it attacked before, she had heard it galloping from several hundred finials away, but now it was as if the monster had just appeared behind the expedition. Many of the mages finished their incantations as the soldiers and mercenaries dashed toward the monster. Those still mustering their magic backed away, retreating toward Felinia and Amandal. However, some of the soldiers were fleeing. Commander Kalamir was among them, as were Vaem and Kaidal. But why was the commander fleeing?
"Go!"
Amandal cried, and heavy footfalls echoed all around. The towering conjurations bolted past Felinia and into the fray.
"How amusing!"
the monster bellowed, swatting at the soldiers while turning toward the conjurations. It cocked its head toward Felinia, its violet eyes staring directly at her. No, beside her. Was it looking at Amandal? That winged creature squealed again, but its cry faded behind Felinia. In that moment, Amandal's mage's parasites arrived and encircled them. The gray-skinned creatures lowered into wide stances, their pink tongues hanging to their waists. Felinia shook her head.
"You need a barjan, Amandal,"
she swiftly uttered an incantation to shield him. While her magic coalesced, the deserters ran by. Felinia glared at Vaem, but neither the scholar nor the commander noticed. Battle cries filled the hall from behind as violet particles shot from Felinia to Amandal, but some of the magic wisped toward the mage's parasites. As the disintegrating barjan formed, Ildin's illusion zipped by, followed by an illusion of Fendar. Both illusions flew straight for the monster's head.
"A good distraction," Felinia thought, and repeated the incantation to shield herself.
In that moment, Amandal's towering conjurations reached the battle. One of the earthen giants lunged, poised to punch the monster's face. Morjadayan dodged the monster's deadly tail, mustering more barjan. One layer would not be enough to protect everyone, not with how quickly the monster had shattered the barriers in the last skirmish. Battle cries, singing metal, incantations, and thunderous footfalls filled the air. The dreadful cacophony evoked a mirthful cackle from the monster. A resounding smack ran through the air, and Morjadayan spun. An earthen giant stumbled from the monster, falling upon several soldiers. He could feel their barjans weakening. With annoyance tainting his incantation, he shifted his focus to those pinned beneath the conjuration. The earthen giant swiftly rejoined the battle, and those that had been pinned scurried around the hunk of rock. Soon, a brilliant wave of blue barjan shot from Morjadayan's hands, surging through the air and surrounding the scurrying soldiers.
"Careful, Amandal."
Blackness shot toward him, and he threw himself sideways. The monster's tail struck the floor where he had stood, the pincers bouncing off the stone.
"It's no use, Hedge Trancer," the monster bellowed, then swung its tail once again.
Morjadayan tried to dodge, but the pincers wrapped around his barjan bubble. The monster lifted him, then hurled him down the hall whence Amandal had come.
"No!"
he cried, spinning as he flew through the air. Bolts of lightning surged past, accompanied by acidic orbs and flaming bolts. Something struck his barjan, rather, he hit something. It was soft, yet firm.
"Morji!"
a voice bellowed beside his barjan. Amandal? He wondered, struggling to reorient himself. Purple leathery palms clutched his barjan, one of Amandal's Yeltis.
"Keep some distance,"
Amandal's voice bellowed from the conjuration. It lowered Morjadayan, gently setting him on the floor.
"Nice catch,"
Morjadayan said, taking in his surroundings. The monster had repulsed him a good 80 or so finials.
Soldiers filed past him, running at magically enhanced speeds, but they charged without Barjan.
"Wait!"
Mojadayan called, but they didn't stop.
"How foolish,"
he grumbled, then swiftly uttered an incantation. Explosions of light clouded the battlefield, but Amandel could sense his foe through his conjurations. The monster attacked with incredible precision. Despite being severely outnumbered, the monster held its ground against the conjurations and soldiers.
"What is this beast?" Amandel wondered.
It was no ordinary creature.
And it spoke.
The Yeltis who had caught Morjadayan joined the battle, followed by the Cisterns. The wolf-like conjurations galloped around the soldiers, leaping toward the monster, ready to sink their claws and teeth into the beast. But the monster swatted them away before any could land a blow. Now surrounded by Amandal's conjurations, the monster shifted its focus. Its six arms alternated between striking the towering conjurations and bracing itself. That orange haze filled the air around it, exhaled in large puffs from its gill filaments. Soon the mist engulfed Amandal's conjured troll, and Amandal fought a maddening urge swelling within the creature.
"Fight!"
Amandal commanded, but the troll did not obey. The fear grew in its mind, debilitating it. He adjusted his focus, taking total control of the conjuration. He leapt the troll into battle and swung its fists, but the monster intercepted the blows. Amandal punched again and again, but the monster deflected the troll's fists. Meanwhile, each of the Cisterns succumbed to that dreaded haze. They whimpered and backed away. Soldiers darted around the debilitated conjurations advancing on the monster. But their weapons, despite being imbued with deadly magic, barely inflicted any harm.
"Get up!"
Amandel commanded, but the Cisterns didn't move. More magic struck the monster, erupting in a blinding flash. Amandel managed a blow against the monster's head, but the beast was unaffected. The erupting light faded, revealing abrasions on the monster's neck. Amandel swung the troll's claws toward the open flesh, but the monster spun and punched the troll. Amandel gasped, and the troll flew backward, hitting the wall.
"Those cowards!" Villenia spat.
Was she referring to Vaim and the old soldier? Breathing heavily, Amandel glanced to Felinia. She was gazing down the hall toward the stairs. Ildin was now beside her, uttering an incantation. White light coalesced into an illusion of himself, and Ildin sent it flying into battle.
"We should try to pin it," Ildin said. "Use the shift to cut it in half."
Amandel nodded. "Only if we can subdue it."
"What's the shift?"
Felinia asked. As Ildin explained, Amandel returned his focus to the troll, pushing it forward. It took considerable effort to coerce the troll to fight. He sent the conjuration back into the fray, but the monster landed another blow to the troll's chest. Bones cracked and Amandel dropped to his knees. As the troll struck the wall, one of the Yeltis succumbed to the terrorizing haze.
"No!"
Amandel gritted his teeth, watching the battle through his conjuration's eyes. Ildin's illusions zipped in front of the monster while his enthralled earthen giants attacked. It was a clever strategy, but it didn't seem to faze the beast in the slightest.
"Amandel!"
Silas cried, skidding to a halt beside his barjan.
"The troll!"
he managed between gasps. As he stood, the other Yeltis succumbed to the mind-numbing fear. The monster punched the Yeltis in the face, sending it reeling into one of the earthen giants. The Yeltis's tusk struck the rock, cracking. The monster spun on the earthen giants, but struggled to move them.
"Probably too heavy," Amandel thought, sucking in his breath.
"Shall we try some ensnaring tentacles?"
Ildin asked.
"Then the conjurations can help hold the monster in place." "Good idea,"
Felinia shouted, then began uttering an incantation. Ildin also mustered his magic, and the two of them began to glow with green light.
"There's only one problem,"
Fendar said through his illusion, then pointed to the battle. The monster was safely nestled within one of Tardalim's sections and showed no signs of budging.
"Perhaps if we can weaken it, we can knock it back. That abrasion."
He immediately shifted his concentration to the Yeltis cowering nearby, the one with both tusks intact.
"I have an idea."
His friends turned to him, intrigued.
"Yeltis venom."
If the monster's reaction was anything like the soldiers they had lost, then it could easily be maneuvered. Ildin nodded approvingly.
"That might just work," Felinia said.
It better, Amandal thought, then commanded the Yeltis to move. The furry creature rose from the stone floor. It was half a section away from the monster. Unfortunately, the monster would see the Yeltis coming. Distract it, he commanded the earthen giants. He closed his eyes, putting all his mental effort into controlling the Yeltis. The fear within the conjuration was just as intense as with the troll. Fighting the terror, Amandal charged the conjuration into battle. The Yeltis leapt over a band of soldiers and around an earthen giant. It lunged into the air, tusks poised to pierce the monster's neck. Ildin's enthralled earthen giants attacked as one, drawing the monster away. Together with Amandal's stony conjurations, they created an opening. Venom-encrusted tusk struck the abrasion, but barely pricked the monster. That immovable flesh jolted the Yeltis's head backward. Amandal struggled to regain the conjuration's footing, and the Yeltis landed atop several soldiers. The blow, however, was enough to evoke an enraged scream from the monster.
"Clever beast-caller,"
the monster bellowed, turning to face Amandal. The name made him flinch. Beast-caller was an ancient term describing conjurers. According to his family's tomes, that was their earliest title, a title which some said originated during the Dragon Wars.
"You will regret that,"
the monster cried, its tail speeding through the air. Amandal pushed the Yeltis upright, freeing the soldiers. But before the conjuration could evade, the monster's pincers pierced the Yeltis through the eyes. The blow sent pain surging through Amandal's head, dropping him to his knees. The bond to the Yeltis vanished, but the echoes of the pain lingered. Another enraged cry filled the hall. Amandal struggled to shift his focus. His earthen conjurations were still attacking the monster. They tried grabbing its limbs, but the monster bolted, running straight for Amandal.
"After it," he commanded.
The conjurations obeyed, but the monster was too swift. Within a heartbeat, the monster snatched Amandal with one of its claws. Through his conjurations, he could see himself raised into the air, his violet barjan flickering.
"Open your eyes, beast caller."
The earthen giants reached the monster, as did most of the soldiers. One of the conjurations gripped the monster's tail, and the others wrangled its rearmost arms. But the monster didn't bother with them. It focused entirely on squeezing Amandal's barjan. Green light burst from Ildin and Felinia, sending a dozen ensnaring tentacles toward the monster. They wrapped around its foremost arms, including the one gripping Amandal. More incantations sounded all around, but Amandal couldn't focus on them. The lingering pain was too distracting.
"Look at me, beast caller, and I promise I will kill you swiftly."
Ildin's enthralled conjurations joined the struggle, one grabbing the arm gripping Amandal. All the while, the lone Yeltis, the troll, and the cisterns continued writhing on the floor. That orange mist spread, engulfing each of the Kintashals. They too succumbed to the maddening effects, aimlessly staggering through the hall and exhaling the magic each had consumed. Ignoring his conjuration's dread, Amandal noted the monster's position within the hall. Its tail and legs were in one section, while the rest of it was in another. A ping resounded through the hall, heralding the shift.
"Hold it!"
Mirrodin shouted. The command was echoed by Dardel and several others. Morjadain and Ildin both called for everyone to fall back, while Felinia uttered another incantation.
"Stay!"
Amandal clenched his teeth. Through his conjurations, he saw his barjan flickering. Hopefully it would hold. If not...
"Your efforts are futile,"
the monster bellowed. The barjan shattered.
"No!"
Agonizing pain engulfed Amandal, piercing every part of his body. The shared vision with his conjurations ceased. The air around him became hot. His skin itched, then burned. Amandal coughed, gasped, and opened his eyes. The orange haze engulfed him. Nightmarish figures formed in the mist, but the worst was a giant violet eye that evoked a terror that made him wail. Its horrific iris swirled around an abysmal pupil in an unnatural fashion. Then, like a thousand daggers, the agony pierced his mind. He tried to scream, but couldn't. He could only stare at that terrifying eye. Something, a force or a will, reached inside him, prying vivid images from his mind, starting with his earliest memory. Ildin started as Amandel's earthen giants jolted, then stilled, relinquishing their grips and partly freeing the monster. The conjurer looked paralyzed. He had been screaming, but the wails were abruptly cut short. The terrifying creature began to shake, but jerked back repeatedly. Was it succumbing to the Yeltis venom?
"Curse you, beast caller!"
the monster bellowed and thrashed about, weakening Ildin's ensnaring magic.
"Hold!"
The monster's tail flew through the air, impaling one of the mage's parasites. The lines on the wall darkened to red, and the ensnaring magic snapped. Cackling triumphantly, the monster lurched backward, and Amandel resumed screaming. As it retreated, the monster swiped another mage's parasite, slamming it against the lit lines in the wall.
"Amandel!"
Ildin cried. A double ping resounded through the hall as the monster pulled Amandel toward the dividing line. Then, in an instant, the monster and all the earthen giants vanished. But the black hand clutching Amandel fell to the floor with a resounding thud. Amandel thrashed about, clutching his head and wailing in torment. The monster's severed hand twitched beside him. Ildin darted from the others, dropping to his knees beside his friend.
"Amandel!"
he cried, reaching for the conjurer, but Amandel rolled away. He mumbled incoherent nonsense. He sounded mad, deranged. Soon their other friends came to a halt around him.
"What's wrong with him?" Fendar asked.
"That haze," Felinia muttered.
"Amandel!"
She struggled to grab the conjurer. Ildin hurried to her, and together they stopped Amandel from rolling. All the while, Amandel continued spewing deranged nonsense.
"Hold him still,"
Sylas said, then uttered an Arpran incantation. Mirrodin and Dardel arrived beside Ildin and added their efforts to controlling Amandel. The screaming conjurer fought them, kicking Ildin in the stomach. Gasping for breath, Ildin instinctively let go. The soldiers jumped onto Amandel, pinning him in place while Felinia uttered an enthralling incantation.
"That's smart," Ildin thought, rubbing his stomach.
"Oh, Amandel,"
Morjadayan blurted, running to join Ildin. The burly Barjanist groaned and shook his head. Ildin turned and opened his mouth to speak, but the severing of an enthralling spell jolted him. Taken aback, he reached out to his enthralled conjurations. They were close, beyond the wall ahead of him, within a section of the 21st floor turned a different direction. Through his mental bond, Ildin watched as the monster attacked the conjurations, wielding the limbs of several earthen conjurations like cudgels. The appearance of green particles roused Ildin, and he watched them wisp around the soldiers, striking Amandel. The Arpran magic surged across the conjurer, then disappeared. A moment later, Felinia finished her incantation. Gray light zipped into Amandel's nose and mouth, abruptly stilling him.
"There,"
Felinia said with a sigh, then turned to Sylas.
"Well?"
Sylas narrowed her eyes and bit her lip.
I don't know. I can't tell what's wrong with him. There's something in his head."
"That haze?" Ildin wondered. "Can you remove it?" Felinia asked. Sylas shook her head, drawing a hushed murmur from Felinia. Mirrodin and Dardel eased off Amandel, allowing Felinia to stand him upright.
"What happened to him?" Mirrodin asked.
Dardel shrugged.
"That orange mist seems to drive people mad."
Dardel explained how in a previous engagement the monster had afflicted those not protected by Barjan, hurling them into a state of delirium. Unfortunately, the afflicted were separated from Dardel's group by a shift. Another severed bond jolted Ildin. Now, only one of his enthralled conjurations was left. In fact, it was now the monster's only foe. Seven Cisthern lay limp on the floor, their white coats bloodied. Two mages' parasites were torn in half, their corpses atop pools of purple blood near the dead Yeltis. And the troll. Ildin's stomach heaved, and he brought a hand to his lips. He severed the bond to the elemental and focused on his own surroundings. The soldiers and mercenaries were all gathered together. Squad leaders took head counts. No one else seemed to be suffering like Amandel. Well, besides the conjurations not caught in the shift. Five of the Cisterns lay on the floor whimpering, the lone Yeltis cowered against a wall, breathing heavily.
"I should enthrall them," Ildin thought.
As he uttered an enthralling incantation, Mirrodin and Dardel discussed the situation, speaking of the shift, the roost, and the cache of Tebisrals. But Mirrodin did not mention the Mindalarnian corpses. Why? Talk of Tebisrals drew intrigued comments among the survivors.
I'll get the Yeltis, Villenia said,
then began her own incantation. Ildin's magic enthralled the cisterns, and he felt a resistance within the beasts. Amandal still had a hold on them, despite being under the influence of Felinia's enthralling magic.
Follow me,
he commanded, but the creatures didn't obey. Struggling with the cisterns, Ildin turned around and joined Mirrodin and the others. They were talking to Fendar's illusion about the route back to the higher floors.
The other one has to be Fench, Fendar said through his illusion. Those 15 are only a few sections into the 22nd floor.
Mirrodin set his jaw.
And the monster?
It's trapped, Fendar said. There's no way for it to get to any of the staircases. Well, ones that ascend. It can go down. Let me check the other floors.
Just keep an eye on it, Mirrodin said.
Hopefully it doesn't find a way to get ahead of us.
Dardel nodded.
Lead the way, Mirrodin. We'll follow.
Mirrodin nodded, then darted down the hall. Soldiers, mercenaries, and mages all ran after the retired soldier. Ildin, however, searched for his friends. Morjadayan, Dougal, Felinia, and Sylas all stood around Amandal. Felinia was whispering to them, but Ildin couldn't make out what she said. He sent one of his illusions after Mirrodin, then approached his friends.
Something is wrong with him, but I don't know what.
Felinia shook her head, eyeing the soldiers as they ran. Ildin joined the group while keeping his illusion near Mirrodin.
The commander did look strange, Sylas said.
Morjadayan nodded.
He didn't seem himself this morning.
Not himself, Ildin wondered. He had seen Kalamir fleeing and thought it odd. He hadn't thought the commander a coward.
He changed after the last fight with Vaim, Felinia said.
Ildin cocked his head.
Vaim?
What happened? Did she touch him?
Felinia studied Ildin quizzically.
I believe so. I thought I saw him swing a fist at her, but I don't recall her being struck.
Great, Ildin sighed, running a hand through his hair.
I take it you know what happened? Dougal asked.
Oh, he did, all right.
How was he going to explain it? Amandal hadn't even explained it all to him.
I think Vaim has a Tevisral. It makes people extremely susceptible to her in,
Ildin squeezed his eyes shut, scrunching his face,
in sexual ways.
Really?
Sylas blinked several times. Morjadayan folded his arms.
Is that what happened to Amandal during the banquet?
Ildin nodded.
Do you really think Amandal wanted to sleep with her?
Yes,
Dougal said flatly. Morjadayan playfully nudged Dougal.
What?
The transmuter demanded, pointing to Amandal.
It's what he does. So Amandal didn't want to sleep with her?
Sylas asked. Jaw tensed, Ildin glanced to Felinia. She grinned wryly.
No, he said.
Did he dare bring up their bet?
He had decided to change his ways in order to,
He trailed off. Don't say any more, he told himself. Felinia's smile broadened. She glanced to Amandal, biting her lower lip, but her expression soon saddened. Ildin looked past her, studying his closest friend. Though the conjurer seemed calm, there was terror in his eyes.
Oh, Amandal.
We should continue this later, Morjadayan said, pointing down the hall. We're going to lose them.
Ildin and the others spun, while Felinia uttered an enhancing incantation. The last squad turned a corner, half a grand finial away. Ildin focused on his illusion, zipping it back down a maze of corridors.
There's only one way to go.
Then let's go,
Morjadayan said. The Barjanist led Ildin and the others down the hall at a reckless pace. Silas and Ilden pulled ahead, but Felinia finished her incantation, and soon all of them were running at magically enhanced speeds, following the zigzagging path that led to the stairs. To Ilden's surprise, the 22nd floor hadn't shifted yet. They were halfway to the stairs leading to the 23rd floor when they caught sight of the others. Those who had fought the monster had since rejoined Kalamir and Vaim. Once Ilden and his friends were two sections away from the others, Fendar's illusion called for a halt, thinking the shift was almost upon them. During the battle, he had watched the changing symbols along the routes and believed them to be a timer of sorts. As Ilden neared the back of the expedition, a ping resounded through the hall. "Looks like Fendar was right," he thought. The lines of light on the walls darkened to red as Ilden and the others rejoined their companions. Before Ilden could breathe a sigh of relief, the double pings filled the hall.
"That was close," Dougal muttered.
Mojadian nodded, breathing heavily.
"That's what we get for socializing,"
Dougal snorted.
"Gossiping is more like it."
While his friends bantered, Ilden focused his hearing through his illusion. Fendar relayed a new route, one that was actually shorter than the one they'd used for their descent. Dardel noted the directions while Meradin informed Vaim and Kalamir about Fench and the Roost. The commander, however, wasn't paying attention to the report. He gazed at Vaim like a starved beggar staring through the windows of a bakery.
"He is under her influence," Ilden thought, unnerved by the predicament.
What would this mean for the expedition? Meradin finished his report, but still made no mention of the dead Mindalarnians. Confused, Ilden turned back to his friends, who were still bantering.
"It seems Kalamir is enthralled," Ilden said, glancing to Felinia. "No, perhaps enthralled isn't the right word."
"Enamored?" Dougal asked, his tone sarcastic.
"So what do we do about it?" Felinia asked. "A mage's parasite can suck the spell out of him," Ilden said, "but it can also be removed by a dispel."
There was no time to explain the encounter Amandel had had with Vaim on the Gibran. Dougal cleared his throat. Mojadian turned toward the transmuter, then Dougal repeated the noise and all of them looked at him.
"Why is Kalamir's predicament our problem?"
"Do you think Vaim can be trusted?" Felinia asked,
and the transmuter shrugged. A high-pitched whistle carried through the hall, followed by shouted commands from Dardel. Hurried footfalls echoed throughout the hall. Soon, Ilden was once again alone with his friends.
"We should discuss this later," Mojadian said, "once we reach the Tula whatever roost."
"I agree," Felinia said.
She turned to Amandal and her face contorted with sorrow.
"Of all people to go after, why did the monster have to attack Amandal?"
True, Amandal's conjurations would have proved devastating, but the monster seemed to have singled him out even from the beginning. Was it because Fench had been with Amandal? Mojadian and Dougal darted after the others, followed by Silas. Felinia, however, remained beside Amandal.
"Oh, Amandal," Felinia murmured, stroking the conjurer's face.
"Do you want me to take over?" Ilden asked. Felinia took in a deep breath and shook her head. She turned from Amandal, tears in her eyes.
"Let's go, Ilden. We need to get Amandal to safety."
Vaim had not stopped smiling since hearing the report from that squad leader, Meradin.
"Oh, the praises I will receive."
She imagined herself entering the throne room of the Mindalarn Palace, bearing the wonders of the past, not Tevis Rawls, but allies of Lord Chesareth, from ages long forgotten.
"Surely our war with the Lossians will be won."
If the divine being the Sarothians called a monster was anything to judge by, then the rest of those imprisoned here would be more than formidable. The world would bow once again to Mindalarnian rule. While ascending to the higher floors, Vaim considered the identity of the so-called monster. But she was not well-versed in the ancient pantheon of the gods. Such an understanding was not required for devotees of Chirisium. although perhaps if she were more devout. From what little she understood, the Pantheon was divided into various degrees of power and glory. Of course, Lord Chesareth was over them all. She knew the names of the gods who were considered closest in glory to the Father of All, Cuthon, Helleron, Vizalasan, Desaidan, and Forcusia.
He must be one of the lesser gods, she thought. From what she remembered, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of them. How many are imprisoned in Tartalim?
Throughout their hasty climb, Bayam had tried to open the various doors lining Tartalim's halls, but had no success.
A pity.
The higher Bayam and the others climbed, the quicker the halls changed. Moradin called the occurrence the Shift, a name given to the change by that lone Tulidine.
It's lucky one Tulidine managed to survive, she thought.
Speculation on the alternative almost sullied her joyous demeanor. Once on the 27th floor, the change occurred 3 times before they could reach the next staircase.
We could have been lost here.
After reaching the stairs to the 31st floor, Moradin shouted to everyone that the next 2 floors would be the trickiest to navigate. The expedition ran through the 31st floor, stopping several times to wait for a shift. On their 3rd stop, the expedition halted at an open door. Curious, Vayam dashed toward it and peered inside. The room beyond the door was small. A single golden cage was suspended in the air, barely large enough to fit a man. But unlike the others she had seen, this cage was empty. No crystal, no prisoner. But this couldn't be where that divine being was held. True, a god could change their form, but Vayam had been told that the shackles placed upon the prisoners of Tartalim prevented such things. This cage was too small. Had Cordisian freed more than the so-called monster? If so, why had he failed to free the others? The thought twisted her stomach with worry. The pings of the shift rang through the hall as Vayam studied the cage. The divine tongue was etched upon it. Prisoner number 39,497,052. Sinisha breed, captured and held in human form. Warning specimen capable of manipulating water despite his bonds. Vayam started as a pair of pings echoed behind her. Before she could read any more, the door closed. Capable of manipulating water? There was only one divine being who possessed such a trait. Helleron. But that so-called monster couldn't be Helleron. Shouts from the squad leaders roused Vayam from her thoughts. Hurried footfalls filled the hall as Vayam chased after the others. She was in the rear now with Amandal's friends. The handsome conjurer was running beside Felinia and Ildan, but there was something wrong with him. He moved like a puppet. Soon the expedition halted again. Another door was open on the opposite wall. Vayam hurried to it and peeked inside. The 2nd room was much larger, with an enormous empty cage at its heart. Prisoner number 941,807. Kafis Shah breed. Captured and held in unknown form. Warning, specimen is capable of emitting a mist that causes irreparable mental debilitation. Believed to be named Oreth Issian.
So that's his name, she thought.
She had heard that name before. The double pings filled the hall and the expedition began running once again. Vayam dashed alongside the members of Squad 5, still pondering.
If Corodisian had freed Helleron and Oreth Issian, why had he not claimed Tartalim?
Her worries returned. They soon ascended to the 32nd floor. Unlike the other floors, there were no doors in any of the hallway sections. The expedition navigated the halls led by that illusion and eventually arrived at the stairs leading to the Tulidine Roost.
Finally,
Vayam thought, her worries fading. With the prospect of freeing Tartalim's prisoners within her grasp, a surge of triumph filled her soul.
Now to get to that tower Moradin mentioned.
Surely it would contain mechanisms to make freeing Lord Chesareth's allies easier. While Vaim climbed the stairs, Kaidal approached.
"We've done it," the lieutenant said, grinning. "We've finally succeeded."
Vaim nodded.
"The Emperor will be pleased." "We shall be reverenced," Kaidal said. "Revered by the citizens of the Empire."
Vaim gave the lieutenant a slight smile.
"The gods will walk Kaldar once again," she thought, "and the world will be at peace."
Determined, Vaim ascended to the heart of Tardalim. The end of part 3.